wide is the ocean, high as the blue skies above, deep as the deepest sea, is God's love for you and me. I, though so unworthy, still am a child of the King. For his word teaches me, that his love reaches me everywhere. The grandeur of God's holiness and display of his love are fresh in the minds of the people. What a display of glory. Now, is it possible, just a question, is it possible to forget something so personal, so vivid, so spectacular about God like this and forget it? Are you cherishing those special personal moments with him? We need the quiet hour with God continuously. Now, while Moses was absent, it was a time of waiting and suspense for Israel. The people knew that he had ascended the mount with Joshua and had entered into the cloud of thick darkness. They could see everything from their encampment below. They watched it. From time to time, they could see flashing lightnings of the divine glory. Spectacular. Did they eagerly and patiently await the return of Moses? What did they do? 40 days is a long time, you know. They were accustomed in Egypt to material representations of gods. Polytheism reduces the god to something tangible. And they were used to this. It had been hard for them to trust in an invisible being. And it's hard for you too to imagine an invisible being. But look at his footprints on this planet. It's there. And of course, they had also come to rely upon Moses to sustain their faith. But now, he was taken away from them. Maybe you, your favorite pastor, spiritual leader, was taken away from you. What now? Day after day and week after week passed, and still they notice that he's not coming back. What's happening? You know, it's dangerous to start questioning. In spite of the fact that the cloud of glory was still in view, they could see it, they thought their leader had deserted them. You know, we may come to conclusions, silly conclusions. Could it be that the fire consumed him? And the more they speculate on his absence, the more depressed they become. Don't speculate. It could be dangerous. What should they have done during this time of waiting? And what should we do in our times of waiting? What about meditating upon the law of God? They've just heard about it. They should have memorized it. What are we doing while we are waiting? Maybe right now. Trust him. Keep the mind busy with positive stuff. If they did, they would have been shielded from temptation. This is a very important point. But they did not do. And they soon became careless, inattentive, and lawless. Lessons to be learned? Yes. Guess who started the rebellion? The mixed multitude. The bad attitude was contagious and resulted in a terrible rebellion. By the way, what were the conditions of entering the promised land? You know, they made a covenant with God with some conditions. There were some who suggested, let's go back to Egypt. The masses were determined to wait no longer for Moses, you know. Enough is enough. Shame. They apostatized at a tremendous pace. Don't underestimate the actions of your fallen human nature. Don't underestimate the potential of the wickedness inside of you. You have to crucify yourself daily. I'm standing here at the Serapeum in Egypt, near the Saqqara. And this is where they buried the Apis bull. Huge bulls. Look at the sarcophagi. Quite a lot of them in here. Do we have to feel and see in order to worship God? Does this impress him? They thought that syncretism would make them more acceptable with Egypt if they should go. Syncretism is truth and error mixed. This is Sokna, where they passed through the Red Sea. Why did God perform these mighty miracles? To establish faith in him as the invisible, all-powerful helper of Israel, the only true God. So they could see this by day and by night, this huge pillar of cloud and fire. That's something of God, but it was too big to contemplate, to define. In what manner did God help them in their weak faith and desire for something visible? By the cloud, by day, and the column of fire by night, which guided them during the day over that difficult, sandy wilderness desert, and by revealing his glory at night, the fire. And now, of course, at Sinai, God revealed and new dimensions of his majesty, his glory. But in spite of these divine miracles, they apostatized and practiced Egyptian idolatry. They represented the glory of God, of the invisible God, by an ox. Phew, what a contrast. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron, he was in charge, and said to him, now listen to this, come, make us gods, that they shall go before us. For as for this Moses, very negative, as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said, no, we cannot do it. What did he say? Yes. Are we pleasers or are we principled people? It is worth it to note that Moses' apparent delay caused them to backslide. If you're a backslider, it's possible that object that you've been waiting for did not arrive yet. It's very, very scary. Do we backslide when we see no evidences from God? I've got wonderful friends. They expected things from God and it didn't happen and they deserted God. We should be so careful. Have you at times waited upon the Lord to help you, assist you, just to discover that he's absent? So many lessons we can learn here. Maybe right now you're praying and praying and praying and nothing is happening. Likewise, some will fail to be ready for the Lord when he appears the second time. Many will say in that day, my master is delaying his coming, and give way to wickedness. This is so dangerous. Please don't give way to wickedness. Fast and pray if it's necessary. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. God has given us the mental ability to walk by faith, not by sight. May God help us to trust him, even though at times we have no apparent evidence of his presence. Important. Let's build our faith on his promises and not on our feelings. Feelings are so deceptive. What happened while Moses was receiving the tables of the law? What were they? Instructions regarding true worship. The details of the tabernacle and the high and holy office of the high priest. This is what he was doing. Do you think this great leader, Aaron, would yield to their demonic demands? Because he's such an important celebrity. He's such a spiritual man. Have you been disappointed by your spiritual leader? If Aaron had been strong in faith and character, this unfortunate incident in the history of Israel might have been avoided. And if you are a spiritual leader, stand firm. Stand firm. Firm actions on the part of Aaron would have diffused this dangerous, rebellious situation. Aaron's weakness of character and spirit of compromise did not only render his spiritual leadership ineffective, but placed him in a position of a leader in rebellion. Now, my friend, this is very serious. How would you have handled such a sinful, rebellious uprising? Make us gods, Aaron, make us gods. In Egypt, they were accustomed to material forms of the deity. It was very difficult for them to trust in an invisible God. Go before us. They wanted gods to go before them. Poor Moses. And God, how must God have felt? Weary of waiting, the people demanded visible gods to inspire them with confidence and courage. How silly. Now, what is happening here? Are you used to doing this? Sends out a message, serious message. How is Aaron going to handle this crisis? Where's Moses? Where's Moses? You know, and we do it too. Come, 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 come. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings. Now, you cannot touch a woman's earrings, jewelry. He had a plan here, but it failed. Which are in the ears of your wives. So they had to go and take off the earrings of your sons and of your daughters and bring them to me. But he was mistaken in this hope, his dream. Having taken the first compromising step, he could not retreat. Never, never, never compromise. Once you start, you're on the way to disaster. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. Bags full of earrings. And he received the gold from their hand and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. A calf. Can you believe it? What a shame, what a tragedy. Lessons to be learned here. So Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Aaron, what are you up to? Have you seen men of the cloth making fools of themselves? We should be so careful. When they eventually worshipped the golden calf, they pretended they were worshipping God. Now, is this possible? You know, the devil is very shrewd. That is why Aaron said to the inauguration of the worship of the idol, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They worshipped God the way the Egyptians worshipped Osiris, by means of an image. There you've got the image. How sad. Reverting back. You know, it's more difficult to unlearn something than to learn something. Although it was done in God's name, they were actually worshipping the sun god. God refused this kind of worship. He does not share his glory with idols. Another sarcophagus at Serapeum. You know, here at Serapeum, I reminded myself of the fact that the worship of the Apis bull was associated with degrading sensualism. Are you with me? Degrading sensualism. Sensualism is never uplifting. The Bible indicates that the worship of the golden calf included all the immoral practices of heathen worship. The Hebrew word for play means to play by jumping, singing, and dancing. So this is what happened down there. Jumping, singing, and dancing. It was a filthy, immoral feast in the guise of true religion. And they rose up on the morrow, no problem to get up early this time, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. This kind of feasting was especially vulgar among the Egyptians, and they reverted back to the rubbish they did before. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Why did God send a flood to purify the planet? Let's read it. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Just a question. Why didn't God destroy Israel? Did they deserve it? Let's go back to the poor, wavering Aaron and the rebellious multitude. Now, such a crisis demanded a man of firmness, decision, and unflinching courage. One who held the honor of God above popular favor, personal safety, or life itself. But the present leader of Israel was not of this character. Aaron feebly remonstrated with the people, but his wavering and timidity at the critical moment only rendered them the more determined. The result? Tumult increased. A blind and reasoning frenzy seemed to take possession of the multitude. There were some who remained true to their covenant with God, but the greater part of the people joined the apostasy. A few who ventured to denounce the proposed image making as idolatry were roughly treated. In the confusion and excitement, they finally lost their lives. You know, you cannot handle a mob. We should be calm all the time, not carried away by emotions. Aaron feared for his own safety, and instead of nobly standing up for the honor of God, he yielded to the demands of the multitude. If a man like Aaron yielded to the demands of wicked people, what about you and me? You know, when I read the Bible, I've got to examine myself. I'm not so smart. I've got the same evil tendencies. How does yielding to the demands of my fallen selfish nature impact on my lifestyle? Right here at Tel Dan, King Jeroboam erected golden calves, telling his people they are representations of the true God. I've been here so many times, and you know, I'm saddened when I visit these sites and think of the history that happened here. Didn't this poor king learn a few lessons from the apostasy of Israel in the wilderness? He's doing exactly the same thing. You know, if we cannot learn something from the mistakes of others, we are stupid. Therefore, the king asked advice, made 2 calves of gold, and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's the right thing to do, but it's a bit awkward. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Are we tempted to relax in an easy way of worship, where there is no need for self-sacrifice, self-denial?" Here we have the tragic story of mixing truth with error, called syncretism. And there's the temple, the altar. This compromise was also practiced at Bethel and caused the downfall and exile of the 10 tribes of Israel. This is a very sad story. My friend, we cannot afford to get lost. Let's obey and walk the straight and narrow way. Who else worshipped here after he had a dream of the ladder? Jacob. And the king Jeroboam set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. One up north, the other one down here and close to Jerusalem. Shocking, shocking. At the very same place where Jacob had an encounter with God, the devil deceived God's people by erecting golden calves. Here you're looking at the foundation of the temple that Jeroboam built here. Do we worship golden, shining, popular religious calves? I'm looking at my own heart again. Here before Ras Esafsaf at Sinai, God's people revolted. They couldn't get up early enough to go and worship the previous style of worship they are used to. It was essential kind of worship. I'm not going to tell you what happens to people who worship like this. You can look at the source. Rose up to play. Let's ask the Apostle Paul to tell us more about this play. And let's analyze the way we worship. Because maybe we are deceived in the way we worship God. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. In the wilderness. This is the result of disobedience, of false worship. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. This was something evil they lusted. Self-pleasing. And do not become idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let us not commit, this is serious, sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. The sin of our day, sexual immorality. Ask God to give you pure thoughts, pure heart. Otherwise, you're going to destroy yourself. The battle between the spirit and the flesh still continues. Only my choice can determine the outcome of this daily battle that rages inside of me. We should guard against temptations who have a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. Sensual pleasure masqueraded as religion, says Paul in Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5. Such religion is as pleasing to the multitudes now as it was in the days of Israel. May God open your eyes if you're in this situation. Only a few days had passed since the Hebrews had made a solemn covenant with God to obey his voice. They stood trembling with terror before the mount, listening to the words of the Lord. You shall have no other gods before me. Just a few days ago, this is what they said. And look what happened here. The glory of God still hovered over Sinai in the sight of the congregation. But they turned away, how sad, and asked for other gods. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. How sad. How very sad. Ox that eats grass instead of the creator of the universe. Could greater ingratitude have been shown, or more daring insult offered to him who had revealed himself to them as a tender father and an all-powerful king? Did God weep? You know, we will never, never imagine the pain in God's heart when he looks at our disobedience. Don't hurt him. When Israel left Egypt, they trusted their invisible God to protect and lead them. But when Moses disappeared from their presence for a little while, evil triumphed. What do you see here? I took this picture at Sinai. It looks like a golden calf, an image, more or less. And then the archaeologists just put this sign there, the golden calf. Do you have a golden calf? By yielding to idolatry, they became immoral. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Don't corrupt yourself. What lesson did you learn from their sensual worship? Next time, we're going to look at the reaction of Moses. Now, why did God say to Moses, Israel is his people? The amazing manner in which God relates to converted and unconverted sinners is very interesting. We're going to look at that. Did God reject them? Does he reject us? How do we view our great sins? The amazing manner in which God relates to converted and unconverted people will be our study during the next lecture. Come and listen to it. I pray for a soft heart of flesh, a heart that can confess sins, a heart that allows the Holy Spirit to write his law on my heart. Father in heaven, help us to distrust ourselves. Help us to follow you in obedience, making use of your strength to become overcomers. Bring us back to the next episode. In Jesus' name, amen.